Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us on the phone is Dr. Yoram Bauman. He has a PhD in economics from the University of Washington. And he's also, I'll let him explain what he does as a stand-up comedian. Dr. Bauman, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Give us a little background on yourself first and how you combine the nexus of economics, comedy, and in this case, a carbon tax. How does
sure.
that work?
So I'm a, I actually make a living doing stand-up comedy about economics. I'm the first and only stand-up economist. It says so on the internet, so it must be true in the whole world. So that's what I do for a living. Mostly I do colleges and corporate events. And when I do serious economics work, I work on climate change and environmental tax reform and things like that. And that's where the Clean the Darn Air campaign came from. It's $100 million a year for local air quality programs. That's in line with what Governor Herbert asked for but didn't get last year. There's $50 million a year for rural economic development, eliminate the state sales tax on grocery store food because that's unfair, and pay for it all with a modest carbon tax on the fossil fuels that contribute to local air pollution and global climate change. So we're going to tax pollution instead of potatoes and put the money that's left over into cleaning the darn air.
Is this something that's similar to the state of Washington's carbon tax?
In some ways, but not really. So there were actually two ballot measures in Washington State, and I used to live in Seattle and was the founder and co-chair of the first campaign, which was a revenue-neutral campaign, have a carbon tax, so a tax on fossil fuels, and use the revenue to cut the state sales tax. That measure did not pass, in part because of opposition from folks on the environmental left, like Washington Conservation Voters, the Sierra Club, even Governor Jay Inslee.
Wow.
Who wanted sort of more of a Green New Deal kind of approach. So they defeated our policy, helped to defeat our policy in 2016, put their own measure on the ballot in 2018, and they got crushed by lots of negative spending from the oil companies, among others. So, carbon pricing is hard. Climate action is hard. But we think that what's interesting about Utah, well, there are a couple things that are interesting about Utah. One is that the focus of our campaign is not so much climate change, but local air quality and local air pollution, which, as you know, is a huge issue. You know, it affects our families, our children, our health. It affects our economy. And there are a lot of people who really want to clean the darn air. And so that's the focus of the campaign. And climate change is definitely secondary. And so that local air pollution focus, I think, is going to be very powerful here in Utah. I think it's also true that there are some prominent Republicans with big names in Utah who care about climate change and air quality.
Yeah.
I would put Mitt Romney on that list. I'd put former Congresswoman Mia Love. I'd put former Senator Jeff Flake on the list. He's not from Utah, but he's LDS, so that's important.
Right.
And I think Governor Huntsman I'd put on the list, former Governor Huntsman, and then Governor Herbert has said some really great things. He's been, a champion on air quality, and he's said that he's willing to have the discussion about our ballot measure, and we think that's terrific.
Do you see, is there something like this that's already been put in place in another state where our state can look at it and say, oh, okay, it worked here, we can move ahead? You know, are there those examples out there?
There are certainly examples of carbon pricing in place. So California has had a cap and trade system for many years. There are a bunch of states on the East Coast that have a cap and trade system that covers the electricity sector. British Columbia has had a carbon tax in place for more than 10 years, and it's worked very well there. So there are a number of examples sort of nationally and internationally of carbon pricing. In terms of clean air programs, I mean, I think it's really, if you compare, you know, the Wasatch Front area with the Los Angeles area, there are actually similar topographies in those two places, mm-hmm. and I think California has done a much better job than we have of cleaning up, and I think it's because they've taken it seriously. You know, it takes resources to take action on this, and when we moved here, our family moved here because my wife is from Kaysville, and we wanted to be close to grandparents. I was really amazed at how little attention the legislature gave to local air quality. It's a it's the top of mind issue for many, many people. Mm-hmm. It's the number one thing that we don't like about being here, and I hear that over and over again from folks that we gather signatures from to get our measure on the ballot, is that air quality is incredibly important, and we think that we need to do more.
All right. Well, we'll get to how people can get their signatures on mm-hmm. this measure, but let's talk about some of the details of the plan. How what would be taxed, and what would be might be replacing what one tax for another?
Yeah. So the carbon tax itself, and I should say that there are lots of details on our website, which is cleanthedarnair.org, or just darnair.org. The carbon tax is a tax on fossil fuels that are burned in Utah. So the part that covers motor gasoline, for example, piggybacks on the existing gas tax. So it's taxed at the wholesale level, but prices for consumers will go up. And that's why we're balancing the carbon tax with things like eliminating the state sales tax on grocery store food. There are also parts of the carbon tax that apply to natural gas. So that mostly goes through Dominion, and electricity, which applies to the electric utilities like Rocky Mountain Power. But again, they'll pass a lot of those costs on to customers. That's kind of the way economics works. And on the other side, in addition to $100 million for air quality and $50 million for rural economic development, the policy eliminates the state sales tax on grocery store food. It provides a 20% match of the federal earned income tax credit, which is a benefit for low-income working families, especially families with children. So it's, pro-children, pro-jobs, pro-families, really great policy at the federal level. This would be a 20% match at the state level for low-income working families. And then there's an extension of the retirement tax credit, which is sort of what Utah's tax code does to accommodate or try to make up for the fact that Utah is one of a handful of states that taxes Social Security benefits in its income tax. So there's a retirement tax credit that benefits low and middle income seniors. And that's the whole policy. So, we think it's a pretty good package, and really excited to get folks to come out and support it.
So I'd pay a little more at the pump for gas and maybe a little more for electricity, but in return I'd pay a little less for food and other services and other taxes.
That's right. And there's actually a calculator tool on our website, cleanthedarnair.org, where folks can see how it pencils out for your particular household. And we've done an analysis, kind of an income quintiles analysis, that's found that the lowest 40% of households in terms of income come out slightly ahead. So there's no net burden, an aggregate for those households. And then, slightly more of a burden for folks in higher income brackets.
Okay, and then so the revenue that you generated from this, have you an estimate of how much revenue would be generated?
Yeah, so the fiscal estimate that came from the Legislative Fiscal Analyst's Office is about $500 million a year.
$500 million a year, and what would be what would that go to?
So from that $500 million, it would backfill the lost revenue from the General Fund and Education Fund from eliminating the state sales tax on grocery store food, paying for the earned income tax credit match, the expansion of the retirement tax credit. And then there's $100 million for air quality, $50 million for rural economic development. And if there's money sort of quote unquote left over, then that money goes into a tax cut fund that the legislature can use to reduce taxes further as they determine fit.
All right, so let's talk about next steps. What is, kind of the path forward with this over the next several months?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. So we filed our ballot measure a few months ago. It took some time to get through the whole process of holding hearings around the state and getting a fiscal estimate and things like that. And we started collecting signatures about a month ago, and we are currently working hard to collect signatures every day. We're out there with volunteers, trying to get the, working to get the 116,000 signatures that we need to qualify for the ballot. So our official deadline for those 116,000 signatures is February 18 of 2020, but we're trying really hard to get all the signatures we need this summer and this fall, before it gets cold, before we encounter potentially a count my vote scenario, if you're familiar with what happened there, because people can take their names off of this signing list too. So we're trying really hard to get lots of signatures this summer and fall, and would love to get help from all your listeners.
Now, I would love for you to mention your Emissionaries program in connection with these signatures.
Yeah, so we know that there are some folks out there who are passionate about clean air and climate change, but also need to make ends meet. And so we have a program called the Emissionaries Program. And the Emissionaries Program is that if you can volunteer for the campaign, then awesome. But if you'd like to get a little bit of money in exchange for collecting signatures, then we're offering $500 in exchange for 1,000 signatures. We estimate that would take about 40 hours of work. So that's a little more than $10 an hour. I will tell you that the events that we've been going gathering signatures at, like Red Butte Garden, and we'll be at the Pioneer Day events and farmers markets and things like that, folks have been getting a lot more than 20 signatures an hour. So that actually turns into a pretty decent hourly wage if you're looking to get paid to do good and clean the darn air. Then you can go to our webpage, which is cleanthedarnair.org, and shoot us an email, use our contact form, and say that you're interested in being a part of the Emissionaries program, and we'll get you set up. And on the other side, if you happen to have a little more time than, if you happen to have a little bit more money than time, then you can sponsor an Emissionary. So $500 will sponsor an Emissionary. We'll give you credit on our webpage and in our email blast that goes out every week. And, thank you for sponsoring an Emissionary.
If listeners are interested in just signing a petition, what's the easiest way for them to do that?
Well, you can't sign electronically, so you have to sign a hard copy petition.
Okay.
So you have to find somebody who's got one of these petitions. Best bets are sort of public events like farmers markets, outdoor events, concerts, things like that. If you're having trouble finding someone and you want to sign the petition, then shoot us an email and we'll find a way to get a signature board in front of you so that you can sign. And if you want to volunteer to collect signatures from a handful of friends or family and maybe even go out and do a public event and do some signature gathering, then we'd be thrilled to get you set up with that too. So you just have to reach out to us at cleanthedarnair.org.
So if I live in Park City, does that mean that, and I want to be a petitioner, does that mean I can only canvass the Summit County area, or could I go to any county at all?
No, as long as you're a resident of Utah and 18 years of age or older, so if you're a registered voter, then that covers both of those categories, you can gather signatures anywhere in Utah. Folks from anywhere in Utah can sign any petition packet. So if you're vacationing in St. George and you see a petition packet down there, then you can sign that. So there really are no restrictions as long as you're a Utah resident and you're 18 years of age or older.
Right, but I ask that because you need 116,000 signatures per se, but that can't all come from just Salt Lake County and Summit County. That has to come from, as I understand it, 26 of the 29 Senate districts. So you got to have statewide coverage. Okay.
Yes, so we have to. You're absolutely correct. So we have to get a certain. The 116,000 signatures is 8% of the number of active voters in the state, which is about 10% of the number of people that voted in the last presidential race, and we have to hit that same target, as you say, in 26 of the 29 state Senate districts. That's different than 26 of the 29 counties in Utah. So Senate districts are divvied up by population. Summit County is actually mostly, if not entirely, in Senate District 26, which goes all the way to Vernal and the east part of the state. So we're really looking for folks who can collect up in the Park City area. That would be fabulous. And then we actually have, the vast majority of the population, the vast majority of the Senate districts are along the Wasatch Front. And we have chapters set up in many of those areas. And there are also universities around the state, including, like Dixie State down in St. George. And we're working on setting up chapters there because young people really care a lot about clean air and they care a lot about climate change. And this is an opportunity, to not just, hold your head in your hands or complain or be unhappy about the situation in this state or certainly federally. It's an opportunity to be proactive and really be part of something that's exciting. So we're thrilled to have folks on board from all around the state. And like you say, we do need to get coverage in different Senate districts, and we'd love to have folks from Summit County help out and participate there.
All right, just a couple more minutes. If you get your 116,000 signatures, you say by February 2020, next February, then what happens?
So then once our measure is qualified for the ballot, then we are on the November 2020 ballot. And then we have to work hard to convince people to vote yes, that this is value for money, that cleaning the air is important, that it's important for our families, our children, our health, important for our economy. We've had leaders of the tech sector, you know, say that they don't fly prospective employees out during the winter months because if they come during an inversion, then they just turn around and you know,
right.
go back from whence they came from. So this is, you know, a super important issue, which I think is why Governor Herbert asked for $100 million for air quality last year. And we're, you know, delighted that our policy has $100 million a year, every year until we clean the darn air. So we're going to make that case to voters. We're excited about making that case that clean air is important. And, you know, secondarily, that climate change is an important issue that we need to get a handle on. And we're we are hopeful that prominent Republicans in this state will come out and say, yeah, this is a reasonable, relatively small government, market-based approach to dealing with clean air and climate issues. And I think the election really will hinge on whether or not we can find a prominent, trusted voices in the majority party in this state, my fellow conservatives, to say that these issues are important and this is a measure that everyone should vote for.
All right. Summarize again, the website is cleanthedarnair.org, and that's where you can get a copy of the act, the draft act. Is that correct?
You can email us, and we can you can see a PDF of the of the measure, and there's a lot of FAQ pages and information on the website. You can sign up for our weekly email blast there. You can contact us for more information, or if you want to get a signature packet, which has to be delivered hard copy, then we can make that happen also.
All right, Dr. Yoram Bauman. And also your website, standupeconomist.com?
My website is standupeconomist.com. If you're looking for economics comedy or cartoon books about economics or climate change, or we've actually, my co-author and I have just published a cartoon book about calculus.
Why not? Of course.
What? It's the page turner.
Naturally, just a super funny topic.
And I love the missionary program. That is intriguing in itself. That cracks me up.
So, credit goes to my wife for coming up with it.
Oh, that's hilarious. She should have her own webpage. All right. So thank you again, Dr. Palmer. And we'll stay in touch as this program goes on.
Sounds great. We'd love to come and give you an update whenever.
Thank you.
Deal.